Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Fairly enjoyed the messages that have gone before. Theme of sovereign grace is a theme that I much enjoy. Certainly enjoyed Brother David's message, and also Brother Ben's is message that is near and dear to my heart, especially given the climate of our particular churches. A couple of months ago, we went through Acts chapter 2 as we were looking at constituting the church I now pastor, because I saw that as the foundation of a healthy church. And it is my desire, has been and will continue to be, to operate based on that pattern. That's the only way it works, folks.
Right.
The only way it works. So much more could have been said if Brother Ben could have preached on that for the next 2 weeks. So much there. You know, not to add anything to what he said, he didn't have time to break down everything. You know, one thing people skip over in those passages is it says that they continued daily in the temple. These were Jewish people, and they had been delivered by Christ, which means they were alleviated from the law service. They all knew that. There was no point for them to go to the temple. Do you know why they were in the temple? If you go back and you study the ministry of the disciples, they were going to the temple to contact their fellow Jewish believers and share with them the gospel. They were going to their places of worship and were actively engaging them in conversation. And that, I think that's something we need to do today. When we are seeking to share the gospel, where do we look to share the gospel? We share the gospel with believers.
Yes.
That's who the early disciples were going. That's who they were targeting. They were targeting people that believed in God. When Paul ascended Mars Hill, he was going to the place of worship, even in these pagan societies. And he took occasion there and he says, "Here you have a statue to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him." And so I believe that it is our responsibility to go to the Armenians and go to these people that believe differently and show them the truth. And I believe that when we do that, when we step out in faith and we follow the command of God, God will bless. Some of what Brother Ben has spoken is what I've been burdened with all week. This passage at home, we've been going through Ephesians and we're almost done with it. So it's kind of a repetitive thing. You kind of know what you're going to preach on next week, but as I was studying this week, this verse of Scripture came upon my mind, and it has yet to let me go, and I feel the need to speak upon it. And so I want to begin this morning by asking a question. And the question is, if God spoke from heaven, and He said, "We're going to have a revival, and I want you to come, and I want you to be a part of that," would you respond? Would you come to be a part of a revival? What is a revival? Have you ever considered what a revival is? By definition, I wrote this down, it is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. It is an instant of something becoming active and important again. When I think of revival, I think of my fireplace. And I think of how when I start a fire in that fireplace during the winter, because I love a good fireplace, it just kind of adds a different dynamic to the home. I think more homes should be built with fireplaces, because it really does. When you sit in front of that fire and you enjoy the warmth, especially as a man, when you build a fire, you feel like you've done something. Amen?
That's a hurry, yeah. I built a fire. That's great. But as that fire begins to burn, and as it burns, y'all that cut wood as children, y'all know this, because y'all had to have a fireplace, because you didn't have a central heating air unit, right? So that was one of your responsibilities. And my dad made me cut firewood growing up, and so I know the pain. But as that fire burns, and as it burns and gives off heat, if you leave that fire alone, it's going to go down to some kindles. It's going to go down to some coals where it is barely burning. It'll even gloss over to where you won't even know that there's any life there. But if you take a stick and you begin to stir those coals and you throw another block of wood on it, it's not going to be long before that thing revives. Right. It's back in it. It's got its full heat. It's burning. It's giving off the heat that it once did. And it's a fire again.
Right.
That's the revival. That's what it means to revive.
Right.
And today I want to talk to you about God's revival. Do you realize that God has promised a revival? A lot of times we sit back and we think that revival only is something that only happens every 200 to 300 years, and it only happens because God decides it's time to send another revival. I've heard it said time and time again, you can't manufacture a revival. And I agree with that. We cannot make revivals happen, but we can get in such a condition to where God is willing abundantly and above to bless us with revival.
Right.
He has promised us revival. He has promised us to inflame our souls and to give us the things that we desperately need.
Right.
And He's told us how to do it. So I want to talk to you about the keys to personal revival. I want you to understand that revival does not start big. We get in our minds that revival happens when there's just hundreds of people coming to a meeting and it's just growing exponentially. But that's not how it happens. Every fire that I've ever lit started with a little match. A little match that was used in the way that the designer intended it. I took that match and I would strike it on the side of that sulfur box and it would produce a flame. And that little flame in all its little glory, when it was attached to the kindling, you know, the pine cones I put in my fireplace to get it, and it would touch those pine cones, it would create an even bigger flame. And then I would put on those little branches and I would pile the little logs up first, you know, because they catch easier. And then it begins to burn. And before long, I'm throwing those big green logs on there so that they can carry the fire long into the night.
Right.
But it always started small.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand something here today. Revivals, as we have seen in the past, the Great Awakening the First and Second Great Awakening, the revivals of England and Scotland. You ever read those revivals?
Yeah.
How they started. Listen, they always start small. I want you to understand that you can have a revival.
Yes.
And that's what it starts, is with you having a revival in your life.
Absolutely.
Church revivals start with personal revivals.
Amen.
That's right.
I want us to listen to the words of God in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, because he speaks here of a revival. Now, I just want to read the first 6 verses. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. What you have just read is an invitation. It is an invitation. It is God's personal invitation. He has personally invited you to come enjoy something. You believe that this morning? Do you believe that God has spoken to your heart through this message? Do you believe that He is calling you through this passage of Scripture, that He is speaking directly to you? He says, ho, and that word ho, it literally means alas. And alas is an old French word, and it's made of two words, and it literally means oh weary. Oh weary. That's what this word means when you break it down. So the writer is saying, oh weary one, everyone that thirsteth. I want us to notice first off that this is all inclusive. What I mean by that, it means that every single person that meets the divine qualifications is invited. Every single person that meets these qualifications is invited. So he says, he's going to give the qualifications. He says, everyone that thirsteth. Everyone that thirsteth. You know what it means to thirst? It means it is a sense of dryness, an ardent, deep desire or longing. It means to crave something. It means to crave something. You cannot have revival unless you crave something.
Right.
We need to look into our hearts. We need to look into our minds. We need to look into our souls, because He is speaking to those that are craving something. He is speaking to those that are craving more than they have. You understand? And so this morning, if you are thirsty, you've been invited. If you are dry, you've been invited. Isn't that a blessing? How many times do you find yourself dry? You ever have dryness in your spiritual walk? I do.
Yes.
I have dryness in my walk. Dryness means that you don't, when you thirst and you're dry, it means you don't have any water. You're destitute of some things. It is a deep desire. In order to thirst, you have to be alive. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have to be alive. Mm-hmm. But not everyone thirsteth. I want you to think with me in Proverbs 27, verse 7. Very quickly, I'm going to turn here because I want to get to my other verses. But in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, he says these sobering words. He says, The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Someone that is full despises that which is sweet. So there's two types of people that do not thirst. Dead people and full people. I trust by the living God that there's not a dead soul here today. I trust that God has done His work of sovereign grace in every single heart present today. So if we're not thirsty, it's not because God has failed us in some way, and it's not because He has not redeemed us.
Right.
It's because we're full.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not full with spirituality because we would be in the midst of a revival, right?
Yes.
It means that we're full of carnality.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we become dry and not thirsty because we are so full on the Coca-Cola of this world? We're drinking the sugar and the caffeine and things that are seek to revive us. But you know what's wrong with Coke? You always have a sugar crash, don't you? You come crashing down. I love Dr. Pepper and Cokes. I used to be an addict, I confess. But I have since waned that, thank God. I'm not as addicted as I used to be. But you come crashing down and you are in a lower state than when you were. That's what sugar does to you. The world may fill you for a moment, but it's going to crash you down even further every time. You understand that? Listen to the invitation. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Jesus says that He would give us living waters springing up within our souls. Mm-hmm. Aren't you thankful for God's promise? And He says, "He that hath no money." There's your second qualification. He that doesn't have any money. Come, He says, "And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat." So He says, I want the thirsty, those that have a longing and a craving deep in their souls, those are the ones I want you to come to the waters. And he that doesn't have any money, he that is bankrupt in this world, I want you to come, I want you to buy and eat. Aren't you thankful that God gives the invitation not to the rich, not to those that have things in this world, but He gives the invitation to those that are bankrupt.
Right.
Every one of us are bankrupt sinners.
Yes.
We have no righteousness that we can claim, nothing of our own that we can bring. We cannot give anything to the Lord in order for Him to give us a revival. You understand that? There's nothing that in your soul that you can give God in order for Him to give you a revival. But what you can do is follow His invitation.
Yes.
Come, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're going to come and you're going to buy without money. How do we buy without money? Do you buy without money today? Yes. Yes, you do. There are two types of ways that we buy. We have the physical money that we buy with, or we buy via a line of what?
Credit.
Brothers and sisters, when we come, we are coming to buy the Lord via a line of credit. Jesus says, "Anyone that asketh in my name, it shall be given unto him." Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because He's opened up a line of credit. Mm-hmm. And it is inexhaustible. Without money and without price. Aren't you thankful? This is something that cannot be bought. It is invaluable. It's invaluable. He says, now here's the question. And this is what I want you to get this morning. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. God is asking you a question this morning, and this is the question that He is asking every single one of us as we are seated under the sound of His words. Why are you working for that which does not satisfy you? Why are you laboring for that which is not going to fill you? You have a craving, you have a longing, there is something burning in your soul, and we try to fill it. We try to fill it with football. I'm almost step on your toes. We try to fill it with politics. We try to legislate our happiness. We try to legislate revival. Let me tell you something, dear child of God. It will never happen.
Amen. Amen.
As long as you are laboring for that which does not satisfy, your soul will always be dry.
Amen.
And as long as the church is laboring for that which does not satisfy, our churches will continue to be dry.
Right.
Some sobering words. God asks you a question. He deserves an answer.
Yeah.
When God asks you a question, He is asking you to search your heart. When God speaks, we need to listen. He says, "Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good." I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture in the Psalms where He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He is inviting you to take and partake of God. He said, "And let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's in abundance. You know, God is not some stingy entity. We view God as stingy. You understand that? Don't lie to yourself. You view God as stingy. You do. I do. We pray for things and we say, you know what? God will just give us a little bit. God will just give us, you know, I need such and such. He's just going to give me a little bit. He's going to give me just enough. But the Bible says, "Who giveth to all men liberally." Do you know what that liberally means? It means in abundance. God gives in abundance. He always gives exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. Delight your soul itself in fatness. And then he says, "Incline your ear." That literally means to cup your hand around your ear and listen intently. "And come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live."
Mm-hmm.
You know what the word "live" there means? It means revive.
Mm-hmm.
It means revive. In the Hebrew, it literally means to revive. So God says, if you're thirsty, come to the waters. If you're broke, come to me. If you see yourself as bankrupt, come to me. Come and buy wine, which wine, and I forgot to mention this, wine in the Bible is always a symbol of joy.
Right.
It's always a symbol of joy. And milk is that which sustains.
Right.
It's the first thing a baby drinks, is that which grows. So come buy that which rejoices the heart and grows the heart.
Yes.
What happens in revival? Joy and growth. Amen?
Yes.
So he tells us, he says, "Alas, O weary, come and drink, come and eat, come and listen, and you will have a revival."
Yes.
You'll have a revival. He says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." What is going to be the foundation of the revival in this country? It is sovereign grace.
Right.
The sure mercies of David. David says, "He hath ordered my house, ordered in all things and sure. He has made my house an everlasting God, ordered in all things and sure, though he causeth it not to grow." What was he speaking of there? He was speaking of the eternal covenant made before the world began.
Right.
Seek the Lord while he is, while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. He tells us that he says, "Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee," speaking to the Lord. He says, "Because the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." People will flock to you. You understand that? That's what he's saying here. People are going to come. You want a revival in this church? You want a revival among the Primitive Baptists? I do.
Yes, definitely.
I'm thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. And I'm bankrupt. I have nothing to offer the Lord. We can come in such a way that we are excited. Remember I told you that it means to become active and to make important again. When we are laboring for that which does not feel, that becomes the area of importance.
I want to ask you this morning, what's important in your life? What's important in your life? You don't know how to answer that question? What takes the majority of your time?
Exactly.
That's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I had to delete an app off my phone, Facebook.
Yes, thank you.
Because I get home and I begin to flip through that thing, and before I knew it, 3 hours has gone by. I'm ashamed to say that. 3 hours has gone by, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's time to put the kids to bed. What? What am I doing? Then I'd sit down and I'd start to read God's Word, and then I'd begin falling asleep.
Right.
Something had taken the importance of my heart.
Right.
We need to get back into a kingdom mentality. My son, Gideon, the oldest, he has developed a kingdom mentality. And for a father, that is so sweet. We were talking one time about the Lord coming back. And he has mentioned to me about 5 or 6 times now since we've had that conversation. He says, Daddy, why can't Jesus just make the horn blow today?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yes.
He's living with his eye on that as the greatest event of humanity. We need to remember that this world is not our home.
That's right.
Our president's not going to fix us. Our Congress is not going to make our churches better. They're not going to be able to fix people's worldview. The only thing that fixes people's worldview is the gospel.
Right.
As cool waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. There's a lot of thirsty people out there, and we need a revival.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to be revived is to simply come to Christ and make Him all in your life personally.
Right.
When people see that Christ is everything to you, they're going to want what you have.
Amen.
They're going to want something. And I'm ashamed to say, Christ is not always everything to me. And if you're honest with yourself, He's not always everything to you. But the more we strive to come to the waters and come to the bread of life, the more we're going to be satisfied, the more we're going to be revived. And when we're revived, our churches will revive. And when this church revives, it's going to be an example to the churches in this community. They're going to revive because they're going to want to know how it happened. And all you're going to say is, one person started seeking the Lord and it happened.
Yes.
All it takes for revival, this is if you didn't get anything else I said, this is what I want you to get. All it takes is one person doing what God called him to do to start a revival. That's it. One person preaching the gospel, one person living the gospel, one person coming to Christ, making him everything in his marriage, in his parenting, in his workplace, in all that he does, takes one person. And the Lord will begin to add and bless. Thank you for your kind attention.